This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
One of my best friends in the whole world is Josh Hancock. He is the Hollywood car consultant, an insultant, because sometimes he's insulting. And JoshCarr.com. He's mostly insulting to me.
Give me the opportunity. Give me the opportunity. Last week it was about your RV.
Yep.
Just give me some more information. I'm ready to go.
You know what? I got to tell you, man. This whole thing with RVing, you know, I got the bug again, of course, and I reached out to the people at Go RVing, and I'm like, guys, I have been an RV guy. I have typically had one or two RVs for the last 40 years of my life since I was a teenager. And because, I mean, I've always loved camping out. And so anyway, yeah, we're working together now, and I think it's pretty cool. GoRVing.com. By the way, so you got to drive a Maserati Levante. Am I saying
yes.
that?
Yes. Speaking exactly 180 degrees from RVing.
Right, exactly.
Although you can sleep in the back.
Yeah, I guess
Maserati
you could.
Maserati is a small SUV.
Well, I don't know that it's small.
Mid-size.
Hold on. Yeah,
small,
it's kind of
mid-size.
Because I saw one the other day next to a what we'll call a small SUV, and I was like, wow, that thing's big. So it's kind of the mid-size one.
Yeah. I guess so. I can say that this vehicle is doing very well in the market, particularly in Southern California. It's a high performance, much like a Porsche Macan. You know?
Yep.
And for those people, I mean, this midsize SUV market's going crazy because people, especially baby boomers, are like, oh, I've had all these cars. Now I'm going to have this. It's got more utility, but it can still be sporty.
Right.
Well, you know, the base car, they're both, this car comes with a 3.0 liter motor, twin turbo. There's a base, and then there's an S. The base has 345 horsepower.
Right. And the
S has 424 horsepower.
Now, because I showed this car on television, it was like 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, on the 424, yeah.
Yeah, it's like insanity. This is a monster,
fast.
Right?
Well, and you have it's interesting because when you press the sport button in this car, the exhaust immediately goes, and it's wonderful. If you press it twice, then the suspension hunkers down, so to speak.
Right.
And there's a real noticeable difference in this vehicle when you do press that button, which I love because others, you press it, and you're sort of like, okay, I'm getting a little quicker shifts. In this one, it's louder, it's more aggressive, and you're hugging the street more. And it's really well done for that. I think the thing that is really making the sale on this vehicle, because I've been involved with a couple of sales, is that people get inside of it, and it's a very seductive Italian leather interior.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, years ago, it's been 2 years ago. I hadn't been that many years ago, but 2 years ago, I was with the president of Maserati in Italy. And he says, you know, the cars have a pheromone to make you attracted to it. I'm like okay, whatever you say. But it was, you know, kind of funny the way that – and I get what he's saying. There's something very sexy about it, from the smell of the leather to just the lines and the trident. You know, if you think about the trident, it's like, what is it? You know, something of war, you know, the champion, you know. So that's the trident is the logo of
the logo, which
Maserati,
goes back to Greek mythology.
Yeah.
You know, in the Ghibli, which is a sedan that they build that they really pushed out there at a great lease price and brought the mark back, they missed a little bit with that interior. People complain the center stack was a little too plain for them, a little too plasticky. They corrected that in this vehicle, and they were well aware of those complaints.
By the way, how much is this car, the Maserati Levante?
This car starts at $73,300.
Woo, baby.
The S starts at $84,600. You know, you find a nice base one, the 73.3, you find a nice one at 80,000.
By the way,
you don't need the bigger motor.
The Ghibli, that we used to call the little fat under your chin when you get overweight, that we called that a Ghibler. But Maserati calls their car the Ghibli.
I don't think that that's necessary or appropriate at this time.
We'll take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're talking to Josh Hancock. We'll be right back. It's The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and Josh Hancock is on the line. He makes me laugh just saying his name. JoshCarr.com, Hollywood car consultant to the movie makers, all things film and television. What else is going on in your world?
Not funny, Alan, first off.
It is to me.
Well, we always, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Tesla, but I am going to say one thing about Wonder Woman, which is a tremendously popular film. There is a moment in the film where you see some very classic automobiles of the time, and they're just absolutely beautiful, and they help set the whole stage for the film, which cars do.
Yeah.
And the car guys would never miss it in that film. They perked up at that moment.
So I have not seen much about Wonder Woman. You're saying it's a good movie?
Actually, it's a really good movie. I hesitated in seeing it. I was kind of burnt out on superhero movies, but this is much more to the sense of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
It's actually period. There's a real story behind it. You're kind of sucked into that story. Great acting. She's fantastic. She's beautiful. And it's much more than one would expect it to be.
Interesting.
And well, there is a moment with some cars.
It's funny because I called my brother on 4th of July, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He goes, I'm in a movie.
I'm like, then why'd you answer the phone?
It's the 4th of July. It was hotter than hell, and it's like, let's just go to a movie. So, but there hasn't been a lot for me to want to go to the movies lately, but hearing a little bit from you gives me a little hope that there may be something a little bit entertaining. All right,
yeah,
very good.
I've got to highly suggest that film.
All right.
And not just for cars.
What do you know, by the way, about Tesla, like a
Tesla
week ago?
Tesla Model 3. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know for sure, but last week they were supposed to start production. 2 weeks ahead of schedule, which all of his other cars have been late.
Well, did you just eat lunch? Are you just having a little?
No, I'm drunk.
That's so funny.
Let me clear my. I never burped. I was just sort of hiccuping.
All right. I told you, you make me laugh, man. That's the best part about it.
Around you, I get a little nauseous when I'm speaking to you. Never mind if I'm in the studio.
Right.
What's interesting about this is all these pre-orders that they had for this car and whether it's going to meet expectations. We already know that it's going to be a little bit more expensive than he told us it was going to be.
Yeah. You know what's funny? This guy, he gets so many mulligans. He gets so many passes.
Yeah.
I honestly don't get it. I mean, Ford Motor Company, they fired Mark Fields, the president of Ford Motor Company, because their stocks were not doing as good as Tesla's. When Tesla is like a tech stock and Ford is doing really, really, really well, their profits are up, everything's going well, and they fire the president of Ford Motor Company. And it's like, really? Because Tesla and Tesla, I mean, look, I think Tesla cars are really, really cool, but I just can't figure out why their stock is going nutty the way it is. I think I know. Hold it. I think I know. Honestly, I think everyone is speculating that an Apple or a Google or somebody like that is going to buy Tesla, and then you're going to have kind of the art and science of tech and car combined, and it'll have plenty of funding and all that, and then they'll have these amazing machines that'll come out of the Apple car or whatever the heck it's going to be. I think that's why the stock is going nuts. But
I totally agree with
you. Yeah, I think other than that, it's kind of weird.
Although, it could also be Mercedes or Toyota.
Well, God bless them. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, both have been involved with the company. Both have invested in the company. Both helped them in different ways. I mean, without that plant, the NUMMI plant where he produces automobiles, and he got that at a song.
From Toyota? Did he buy it from Toyota? Was that Toyota?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a Toyota. That was a GM-Toyota joint venture.
Right.
Eventually.
What'd they make there, that Toyota GM car?
They make the Geo. They made the Geo.
Is that right?
Yes, a very memorable automobile. He's having a party on July 28th here in Los Angeles for the first 30 customers will get their cars, and he's calling that a hangover party. And again, Ford Motor Company couldn't get away with that, nor would they do it.
Right.
But he can come out and say, I'm going to get you all drunk. You're going to come to this party. It's going to be great. And for all the fans of Tesla, you know, they're going to invite all these other people and have a big blowout party for these first 30 people. It's almost like, watch the shiny keys, because we've gone up 15 grand.
Yep.
I don't know. You know, if we look at this car and where it's priced around 40, he originally said 35. Now we think we're going to be closer to 50. This is the car at the sweet spot, don't you think?
Yeah.
Money-wise?
Well, we're going to find out, because soon enough we'll see some test drive reviews for the Model 3, the Tesla 3. They finally started production on it, which, you know, early yet late. Anyway, Josh Hancock, joshcar.com. We thank you for your time, making me giggle
thank
and laugh.
You,
really appreciate it. You can find him at joshcar.com. I'm Alan Taylor. We're going to take a little break, come back with more of our show, and we appreciate all our great sponsors, especially Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. We'll be right back. Bad to the bone.
Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for hanging with us. You know, I've got a lot of friends in this crazy industry, and they work every different angle, whether it would be Josh Hancock, who talks about Hollywood movies and cars and things in the movies, to my friend Mark Murphy, who is the trusted travel expert, best-selling author, entrepreneur, professional speaker. Yes, I'm reading all this. He is also the founder of TravelPulse.com. Once again, TravelPulse.com, the largest news site in the world for travel. He also provides analysts on major networks, such as the Today Show, CNN, Fox, Fox Business News, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the Travel Channel. Mark is, you know, we were just talking about Murphy's Law. He's Mark Murphy. This guy right here, if it can happen when it comes to traveling, it's happened to him. Am I right, Mark?
Without a doubt. You never know, man. You have the light at the end of the tunnel, you're ready to go, and it's the headlamp of that oncoming train.
So, I swear, exactly.
Yeah, not good. We were just talking about how good things can go, and then sometimes they just go awry, and how do you deal with that, especially as a traveler?
You know, let me ask you about something. I had something happen to me the other day that was like, freaked me out. Okay, so there's a lot of controversy around, you know, different airlines, and I used to be a United 1K. You know what that is, which means that they treat you like God, and they take good care. They massage your feet. They give you drinks. They put you in the best seats. Whatever they got to do, you are their top customer, right? And I fell off after the year, you know, the 9/11 thing, 2001. I fell off that list because everybody in the world just went, whoa, what's going on here? And they stopped traveling as much, as you know, you're in the travel business.
Oh, yeah.
And then recently we started buying on, I guess it's Expedia, and we started buying some travel. And, man, there's some really good deals out there. But on United, and I'm not slamming United. This is just, I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff when it comes around about buying travel that you just don't know, especially if you're not using a travel agent that's a friend that will guide you on, you know, lamp under your feet kind of a thing. You're just kind of taking your chances out there in the world when you're going on something like, you know, hotel.com or Expedia.com, whatever, because you're not dealing with a human, the human factor, right?
Correct. So, and the business relationship, you don't understand the business relationship between, let's say, that website and that particular hotel.
Right.
And the terms and conditions. Who's ever read the terms and conditions?
No.
When booking, let alone an airline ticket directly with an airline, let alone booking a hotel through Expedia. That's the challenge.
Well, so here's what happened. So we got this really great flight to New York from the West Coast to East Coast. I get there and I got a backpack and a carry-on, which I've taken all over the freaking world with me, right? And they're like, oh, no. This is like nothing. You're in a middle seat, nothing. And I guess I could take my personal item, which was my backpack, but they wouldn't let me take without paying extra for my carry-on. And right. I'm like, well, how much? And it was, you know, kind of an exorbitant rate. And I was like, that's crazy. I think it was like $50. I don't know. Don't hold me to it. But now they have rates where you literally, they don't let you take a carry-on. You know,
you're right. You get one personal item. And so they've got sort of the bare bones rate. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to compete with the low cost carriers like a Spirit Air. Mm. And what they're saying is we want to lead with the cheapest price because they're going to attract you with that cheapest price. And what do people sort on when they do their own searches? They sort on the cheapest price.
Exactly.
And that means United's going to come up, you know, right there with the other guys as opposed to three pages down. And in their mind, that's a better way of doing it and let you buy things a la carte. If you don't have any luggage, awesome. You want the cheapest seat. If you want more space, you pay for the more space seat. If you want to be able to bring on luggage, you got to pay more for that. And, you know, JetBlue, for instance, you know, let you buy different level fares. And they were really the ones that were doing that before these other guys, versus the bare bones. And now pretty much everyone's getting in that game, the unbundling, if you would, continues in mass in the airline industry. And the challenge as a traveler, you don't know what your final cost is going to be.
Right.
So I'll give you a for instance. So I had a choice of booking United to Denver out of Philadelphia in August. Daughter's going to college. She's going to be a Buffalo. So I looked at the fares and my wife's like, hey, I found this great fare on United. And it was a little bit cheaper, maybe $50-$60 on the ticket, less than American. And American had one flight out that we were interested in and one flight back. But it was, you know, $60 per person or $100, whatever it was, difference. But because my daughter's going to college, she's going to have what? A lot of bags. Since
right.
I have status and my wife has status with American, it was cheaper for us to book on American with status, get six bags checked for free with our status,
right?
Put them all on us, and then just pay the extra money in terms of the fare. It actually worked out to less. And most people aren't going to think about it. They're going to show up, and bam, they're going to get hit, and that price just doubled, in some cases tripled. And Al, the thing that people have to understand is internationally, they kill you on luggage. Second and third bags, they kill you.
Well, you know, and I find that because I have status on Delta and United, Delta does like you can take six people with you and you get the first bag for free if you have status. You know, I mean, I don't even have a big status. I think I just hit gold. But anyway, I think this, you know, I tell all my kids, join those Mileage Plus plans immediately. Pick whichever one. I mean, talk to the people in travel like yourself and myself and find out, you know, who do you use? Why do you use them? And get that mileage thing going immediately because it does add up and it does have its rewards. I want to talk to you some more on the other side of the break. By the way, you guys can find this man and everything he does at travelpulse.com. It is a massive website. He keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on. His name, he is the Murphy's Law man, right?
That is correct.
We'll talk about RVing in a minute because our show is brought to you by GoRVing.com. I got an Airstream this weekend. It is it. I'm getting ready to get in that baby and go. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more Mark Murphy.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead. Sitting next to me, making love to his.
Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're talking with Mark Murphy. He is a trusted travel expert to all the big networks on television, and his website, TravelPulse.com, the largest travel news site in the world. Is that true, man? That's a big site.
Yeah, we publish a ton of content. It's all in real time. So if you want to know what's going on in the world of travel, TravelPulse.com is the place.
All right. Fantastic. So just real quick before I want to get to the kind of the RV thing, I don't know how much RVing you do on your side of the world, but, you know, it's fun and it's part of travel. So it's good for us to yak about it a little bit. And it kind of blends our two worlds about driving and traveling. So we'll get to that. But back to the kind of the trending this week. Wasn't there some news about something with Expedia and some lady in Oregon booking and got left out in the cold? What happened?
So a lady booked a resort in Oregon through Expedia. She got a great deal. She showed up. They were overbooked. They basically said, sorry, you know, we got to cancel your reservation. And she started calling Expedia, spent 6 hours on the phone trying to work it out. But Expedia's terms and conditions are they get the inventory from the resort. The resort reserves the right, if they want to cancel anything, to cancel it. And the lady was upset with Expedia, but she never read the terms and conditions. And she didn't understand that the dollars and cents that the resorts get from different online travel sites can vary greatly. So, for instance, if you book direct with the hotel, they may make 25% more on that booking, or through a traditional travel agent, they may make 15 or 20% more than they get from Expedia. So when they're in an oversold situation, you tend to be the last man out if you booked on a discount website, even though you're paying the same price. And this is what people don't understand. Typically, the price is parity no matter where you book. The margin to the hotel gets impacted greatly. And whatever their deal with Expedia is, my guess is it wasn't that profitable, so she got walked as opposed to the other folks. And my tip is always use a travel agent. They've got leverage. They might book that resort 20, 30 times a year. You might book it once in your life. Mm. You don't have leverage even if you book that hotel or resort direct. Forget about booking through a third party. And if they bump you, they're like, all right, it stinks. You're going to be angry. You're going to go out on social media and bash them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because you're never booking them again anyway. So c'est la vie. Mm. That's the cold, hard reality. I'm not saying that's how all hotels do it.
Right.
But when it happens, you're better off with somebody who has leverage, who can say, I'm taking my 20 bookings a year and moving down the street unless you take care of this customer.
Right.
You'll never have that as an individual booker.
It's interesting because I booked a hotel in Seattle one time. I get there with my guy, you know, and it's like I had to take one of my guys with to film some stuff I was doing. And they said, all we have right now is a single queen. And I was like, look, he's fat and he's hairy and I'm not sleeping with him, all right? And so they started laughing.
Nice.
But they had nothing else. So, you know, I walked out. I said, I'm not sleeping in a bed with another man. I'm sorry. I'm married to a woman. This is not
happening tonight.
And they were like, well, sorry. But again, it was part of the rules and regulations of all that garbage. And we found another place down the way, but it was a hassle. So unfortunately, you know, you don't have a real person to connect to when you're using some of these websites. So yeah, it is something to consider. By the way, do you have like a directory or way of connecting with like approved travel agents or anything like that on your site?
There's different organizations. We've got a website called TravelTribe.com where you can go there and ask questions and agents can respond to it.
Mm.
There's probably 5,000 or 6,000 agents on there that will respond to those questions.
Wow.
You know, you might get 5-10 responses to whatever question you post. And then there's things like American Society of Travel Agents. They have a directory for their ASTA members, and so that's a great place to look. And then also, if you ask at the cruise line or whoever you're talking to, hey, I want to talk to an individual agent. Can you recommend one? if they're smart, they're going to say, hey, here's a couple of agents in your area that we work with. And so some will not do that. And just FYI, they won't, because they want you to book with them. They don't want that agent possibly saying, this cruise line over here, cruise line A, is a better fit than cruise line B, which is where you were coming from.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about travel agents, unbiased information based on what's the fit for me, not necessarily what the supplier might think.
All right. TravelTribe.com. It's all part of this Travel Pulse. This is your thing, right?
Yeah, it's part of my overall company. We publish magazines. We control over 9,000 websites. Travel Tribe is one of them. So, yeah, we do a lot.
Man, this guy, he's connected. All right, so Airstream Travel Trailer, picked it up last week. Been sitting at my house. My wife's kind of, you know, she has trepidation about traveling in RVs with me because I've made her sleep in cars over our 32 years of being married.
So, and you're still married. So
yeah, I know. So we're going to take a couple days and go have some fun. I got a little Airstream, just a little one. And it's been a long, long time since I've camped in a trailer. Normally, I'm a motorhome guy. So anyway, I want to kind of have some fun with this because we're working with GoRVing.com, and so I'm kind of getting into this again. I worked my way up to a 45-foot Newell motorhome, which is like driving an apartment building down the street. So now I'm coming back down to a regular man stuff, and what I really want to get is a Sprinter, Mercedes Sprinter van that's been converted into a motorhome, because I believe that as a businessman and an entrepreneur, guys like me, and I think guys like you too, we'll use these RVs, these smaller RVs that are, you know, really great for going away for a couple of days. And instead of flying there, getting a hotel, I kind of am in control of where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. You know,
the coolest thing about that, it's the interstate, and it's built on that Mercedes-Benz Sprinter platform.
Right.
I went and checked it out at a place called Colonial, not far from my office in New Jersey. That thing is cool. And for two people that want to travel with a couple of dogs, like me and the wife, now that we're empty nesters, I can't think of a better way to go from point A to point B, because it's independent. I don't need to stop at a campground. I can literally pull into a Walmart parking lot if I'm tired, park, pull down my shades, and I am in my own little world, and it's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive.
No question about it. So I'll report back to you on my experience, and you know what? We're going to have to talk to the people at GoRVing.com and Airstream and get you hooked up with an interstate, and then we can start doing more RV stuff, because, man, we live in a connected world. We can be away and still be completely connected, which I happen to love. And as you, like you said, you're an empty nester. I'm about to be an empty nester. There's a lot of people, boomers, that are kind of like us, that are, you know, looking for something that's a little different than the average desk job. So I think that, you know, this fits right into it. All right. You guys can all find Mark Murphy at travelpulse.com. He also has traveltribe.com. There's a lot going on with this guy. I got his finger on the pulse of travel. Travelpulse.com. Mark, thank you, brother.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. Here we go. Airstream time. All right. As soon as this show's over, I'm going and getting in it, and I'm out of here, you guys. We'll take a little break, come back with more of The Drive right after this. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT. The world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of SEA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, it's time for our next guest. You guys hear me always saying, you know, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, and then I go, Brembo brakes. And I have to do that because, believe it or not, there's people in this world that still don't know what Brembos are. But usually they're not, yeah, there he is, there he is. They're usually not car enthusiasts or people that understand the best quality of something, no matter what it is. And when you go out in life and you want to buy something that is the best in the world of brakes and performance cars, it's Brembo. And Dan Sandberg, who's the president and CEO of Brembo North America, on the line. Dan's an old friend of mine, and we're car guys, both of us, and we're buddies, and I'm glad to be able to call him a friend because their company is just it's on fire. But you've been busy, brother. You've been real busy.
It's ridiculous. When was the last time I hosted the drive with you?
I
guess I have to say co-hosted, though,
yeah,
right? I can't just say hosted.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right. It's been, I don't know, like we were together at a big show or something somewhere.
Yeah, it's been busy. I don't know about, I think, you know, I talk to so many people in business these days, and everyone seems to say there aren't enough hours in the day, which you've always heard a long time. But, I mean, seriously, there is no time in the day. There's so much great stuff going on. And, you know, you keep hearing about people talking about cars, right, and that the younger generation doesn't want to buy cars. They want to share their car. They want to take the Ubers or whatever, right? But we are not finding that right now. We're finding a lot of young people are really into some of the great cars that are coming out.
I think that whole thing is a bubble, and it's going to pop once people realize you never own anything by taking Uber. You're spending your money. You never have any ownership. You know, maybe there's some convenience for it, and you and I both take Ubers. I've taken Ubers with you, but that's when I'm in another city. But when I'm at home, I need to have my own vehicle. That's the freedom that I got when I was young and I first got a car. Man, that's a personal conveyance of who I am, and if I don't have a car, who am I?
Going back on the airport? You get off the plane and you go get your car, and isn't it great after a long trip that you don't have to wait for a taxi, you don't have to watch where you're going, you don't have to tell them where you're going, and you don't have to worry about the driving. It's just you have to worry about, especially you.
Right. And also in New York City, I don't have to smell urine, which is even better.
Even better.
In the back of a taxi. All right, so I understand that the chairman of Brembo got inducted into the Hall of Fame
Believe it or not, there's the Automotive Hall of Fame, and there's some guys you may have heard of before. There's a guy whose last name is Ford.
Henry.
Another one is Porsche.
Yeah, Ferdinand.
Honda.
I can't say his first name. Sorry.
Andre Citroen. And how about some race car drivers like Roger Penske and Dale Earnhardt?
Yeah.
Right? And then there's all those guys in Italy, Ferrari, you know, Agnelli, Bertone, Pininfarina.
Hey, be careful.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
But believe it or not, Brembo is going to the Hall of Fame.
Isn't that
our chairman, Alberto Bombassé, because of the impact that really Brembo has had and that Alberto has had in his career, is going to be inducted on July 20th, and we're really, really excited about that.
Well, congratulations, and please, you know, give him a slap on the back for me. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. I don't know if you want to do it or not. That's up to you. I'm looking here.
I don't slap the chairman on the back, but, you know.
Give him a slap on the back for me.
I'll give him a hug for you.
Thank you. But, you know, it's interesting how many cars you guys are on these days. The new Ford GT has Brembo. The new Grand Cherokee Trackhawk, which I cannot wait. 707 horsepower. I just cannot wait to get behind the wheel of that. And then, of course, the Demon.
Is that enough horsepower? What do you think?
No, the Demon has 840 horsepower. You guys put Brembos on that. Cadillac. I mean, you guys are everywhere. Of course, the Porsches, the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, all that. And that's all a given. But you guys are really on a lot of American product these days.
Well, you know, it's great to me to see functional jewelry, you know, at the end of the day, right? Yeah. I mean, you can finally put something on your car that looks great. But, you know, with all this horsepower, with the performance, with the lightweighting that you want to see in cars now to get better mileage, you know, the Brembo brakes really fit that bill. But they look great.
Yeah.
They look fantastic.
Well, it's funny. We're shooting a video right now using the Viper that I have. And they were, you know, have this drone flying over this area, and I had to go back and forth. And she's like, all right, go really fast a couple of times. So, you know, I'm going 0 to 150 in a period of like, I don't know, you know, a mile and a half. And then there's a corner coming up, and I mean, I really got to slam on the brakes. Otherwise, I'm going to go right over the edge and down into the river. And so the other day, I thought to myself, you know, I saw something that Brembo was doing with like it's a 60 to 0 in 2-point-something seconds. Mm-hmm. And so I put those big carbon ceramic brakes to the test. And this road is really not gravelly, but what do you call it when it's like chip seal, you know, like really rocky, bumpy, gravelly asphalt. And man, I'm telling you what, if I didn't have a seatbelt on, I would have thrown myself right through the windshield. that stopping power of those brakes on that car is amazing.
It's you know, people, unless you drive it and you actually try them, you really don't realize what they can do for you. And I mean, I remember I had a Range Rover, believe it or not, and it had another brake manufacturer's brakes on the car. When I drove it in that morning, I took it into our garage, and of course, I had Brembos put on the car. All right,
as you
and
should.
I'm driving home, you know, after work, and I wasn't really paying attention, and I knew I had the brakes on there, but I'm going, and the light turns red. I just touched that pedal like I did before. Boom! I mean, I almost went through the windshield. So, I mean, even for a guy who knows what those brakes are like,
yeah, it's impressive.
It's unbelievable. It is.
And my Chevy 2011 Chevy crew cab has some big Brembos on it too. And God help you. I tell you what, if you don't have good brakes on your machine when you put big wheels and tires on it, everything changes, the dynamic, the rolling resistance. But when you put some Brembos on there, and you guys, listen, you know me, I don't like shilling for crap. This is the best stuff on earth. I got the president and CEO with me. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back and talk about some regular guy shiznit after this. You're listening to The Drive. And I did not say what you think. I said shiznit. We'll be right back. Rising up, back on the street.
Did my time, took my chances. Haynes, the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information for over 50 years, is now available in electronic format with Haynes Manuals Online. You get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manuals, but with added features including over 750 color photographs, color wiring diagrams, and videos to help you do the job right. They're formatted for all electronic devices, and over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle titles are now available. The new Haynes Manuals Online are now available at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Dodge, a domestic, but damn well not domesticated. I know I'm not supposed to really say it like that, but I think, you know, when you have a vehicle called a demon, you can talk about damn and things like that. I guess it's okay. Maybe Tim Kaniska is mad at me.
You can fire breathe.
Exactly. And you know what? If you buy a Dodge Hellcat or a Demon or a Viper, you're going to find Brembo brakes. And we've got the CEO of Brembo North America, President CEO Dan Sandberg. You know, we were talking the other day with Carl Brower from Kelly Blue Book, KBB.com. He's a good friend of
How
mine.
How is Carl doing?
He's doing well. You know, he's got a GT40 ordered. He's also got a GT40 currently, and he did a big story about new GT40 versus the 2005 model that he has. And he said that, you know, having a kind of a hot shoe, a real professional driver, drive his personal car around the racetrack gave him a whole new perspective. He and I were talking about cars and sedans versus SUVs. And the last segment I did right there with you, I just talked about my 2011 truck with Brembos on it, and I believe, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dan, my truck was kind of one of the first ones of having a full-size truck with Brembo brakes on aftermarket kit, right?
Well, we did something special for you, right? I mean, we actually took a kit and put it together so it would fit on that truck. And, you know, you got big wheels on that truck.
Big
you got a lot of hauling weight.
I got big ones, all right? I mean, big wheels.
You do. You do. And you got a lot. You know, the payloads that you see on some of these trucks, along with the weight of the truck itself, you can't go wrong with Brembo, really, with those. And you know, I think GM has just come out with a performance kit in the Chevy. You can put it on a Cadillac now. You can put it on the Tahoe. You can put it on all their big trucks. And it's beautiful. But it's not only beautiful, it's needed at the end of the day.
No question.
I mean, you know, it's about time. You know, some of those trucks, they're tough to stop when they got a lot of stuff in the back.
Well, you know, and I've told this story for I don't know how many years. I bought my wife a Lincoln Navigator, and Jesse James from Monster Garage, that'll tell you how far back it was, like 2004 maybe. Mm-hmm. So 13 years ago, he gave us a set of Jesse James wheels, big wheels. And so I put, you know, big tires on, had big wheels and tires, and it was a Lincoln Navigator, big SUV. And my wife says, oh, there's something wrong with the brakes. And so I went and took it for a drive, and sure enough, there was something wrong with the brakes. They were stock. And when you put bigger wheels and tires on it, man, it's like you can't even stop those things. That's how close they are to really – You know, I mean, when you put a trailer on them, they feel the same way. But you put a wheel and tire package and then try and put a trailer behind it, you have that much less braking capability.
You know, a lot of that feeling when you drive a car in the corners, you know. And that's, you know, when you go to track school, you've gone to track school,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
First thing they tell you is the most important part of the corner is what? Is the tires, right?
Right.
And then you go into the wheels, and then you go into the brakes. And personally, I think tires and wheels are good. I might be biased a little bit, but, you know, when I'm going really, really fast, I appreciate the brakes the most.
Well, I'll tell you, I was going into a corner one time at Mosport, which is a very famous racetrack, and I was in a Porsche Turbo, 911 Twin Turbo, with a guy named Hurley Haywood, who, very famous, three-time 24 Hours of Le Mans winner, drives for Porsche, and he says to me, he puts his hand on my arm as we're in the straightaway, getting ready to go into a turn, and he says, I almost died in this turn. And I said, okay, okay. He goes, yeah, slow down, more, more. You know, it's like when you got a guy who is that professional. So I thought to myself, my God, you know, this must be a hairy corner. So we went through it fine, and then we went back around, and I thought I was showing him what a good driver I was. So then he says to me, hey, let me take you for a couple laps around the track. And I'm like, cool, because he's a hot shoe. I mean, he's got this guy's as professional as they get. We went into that turn, and I put my hand on his arm, and I go, remember, you almost died in this curve, right? And you know what he says to me? I swear to God, he says to me, these cars have a lot of horsepower and a lot of capability, but the best thing these 911 twin turbos have are big-ass Brembo brakes. And he says, you use those brakes for everything they're worth. Fast in, slow out. And that's exactly what he said. Hurley Haywood says to me, use the brakes. That's why you have good brakes.
Good to hear. And you, right? learn, you learn about fade on the racetrack.
You learn
you?
About
you
faith.
That term?
You learn about
fade.
Faith. Oh, no.
Faith,
faith.
And, faith and fade.
Right.
You hope you have Brembos so you don't need the faith.
You learn
and
about
faith. And you don't
faith.
See the fade.
Right. I think you were right. You do learn about faith and fade.
Oh, my God.
You
got
to have both. All right, brother. Listen, it's good. Thank you for sponsoring the show. I know you guys, you know, it's an act of love with me because I'm such a knucklehead. But the product is good, you guys. I have it on everything I own. There's a reason for that because I only have one life. And my family only has one life. And I want the best products that are touching the ground, touching the brakes, and making me go fast and making me slow down.
And are now in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. And there's a reason for that. Dan Sandberg, thank you, brother.
Hey, thanks, Alan.
Guys, I'm going to take a break, check out our podcast, but you're listening to The Drive.
Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So our show is brought to you in part also by GoRVing.com, and I did just go RVing, I'll tell you. I borrowed from Airstream a little 22-foot sport travel trailer, and my wife and I went down to the coast a night on a little RV campground. It was just not too far from my house. And I've lived down the way from this campground and a little, you know, it's got a boat dock landing on it for putting the boats in the river. And I would usually go over there and drop a boat in the river, a jet ski or you know, canoes or kayaks or whatever. But I went in there to check out the place to maybe just, you know, like, hey, let's take the little Airstream over there and spend the night and do a campfire, do some s'mores. And I was like, oh my gosh, this place is beautiful. It's got tennis courts. I didn't even know. 30 years I've been living right down the street from it. So getting away, going RVing is so good for you. I got to tell you, and in the fast-paced world that we live these days, if you don't do it, you're missing out on life. And how much life do you have before one day it goes pop and it's over? I'm going to be one of those guys with internal human combustion where I just explode. But maybe I'll take some of that off, you know, some of the pressure off myself by doing a little more RVing, and that's what I'm doing. On the line with me is Bob Wheeler. He's the president and CEO of Airstream Incorporated. I mean, Airstream, right? Bob, how you doing?
Good, Alan. Nice to talk to you again. glad to hear you're out there enjoying the RV lifestyle.
Well, I've always been an RVer. For the last 30 years of my life, I've worked my way up to a 45-foot monster that I just wasn't using because it really took, you know, I mean, I had to kind of have a purpose, know where I was going, because 45 feet is a lot of motorhome, you know. And so when I didn't use it for, I think, 2 years, I realized, okay, she's got to go. As much as I love a gigantic motor coach, because I used to go to a lot of NASCAR races and big things like that and big events. But the reality is the big guys like that, you got to kind of be a, you know, a person that's done with their business and on to just kind of exploring the world nonstop. And me?
You know, I coined a phrase to address that. Yeah, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Small is the new big.
Ain't it the truth?
Ain't not all that clever, but it applies in this situation.
It's the truth. And the older you get, that's especially true. But anyway, but I have the 22-foot Sport, and it's just, it's like right-sized. You know what I mean? It's like, it was easy. I didn't even know. It was behind me. I have an E350 van that we call, you know, our crew van for the video crew that we have. And I was in LA, and of course I called your PR people, and I go, hey, you got anything I can borrow for a weekend? And they're like, yeah, come on over. So I drug that thing all the way from LA to Oregon, so 775 miles. I literally forgot that I was even towing it about two-thirds of the time, and I go, oh, yeah, I better slow down. I better make sure I do this or that. Because it's so – they Airstreams tow so nice. And I was blown
away.
That's
part of our brand.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, you forget that. I've towed a lot of vehicles. But when you tow an Airstream, you really get to appreciate it. And thank you for making still such a quality machine. And I saw the other day you guys or somebody posted a video kind of on, you know, like a 3-minute or so video on the history of Airstream. And I know it's radio, so maybe you get to tell us a quick, you know, 1-2-minute version of the history of Airstream. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel lucky to work for a company with such a rich history and heritage. But Airstream was started in L.A. in 1931. And just a guy with a dream about making these trailers that went down the road like a stream of air. And his neighbors took an interest and wanted to buy one. And he started a little company called Airstream. And it's been a fantastic run with some ups and downs. You know, they shut down for the Second World War because they couldn't get aluminum. But somewhere along that way, this beautiful, iconic Airstream aluminum shell got cemented in the American psyche as the ultimate tool for travel and adventure, and they're famous for towing well, as you mentioned, and durability, and it's just it's a great brand that attracts so many cool people, and we've got some great stories to tell about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, as I was going down the road, how many thumbs up I got from not just people with RVs, but people that aspire to have an Airstream someday. You know what I mean? And of course, even the other RVers that didn't own Airstreams, there's something about an Airstream, you just get a lot of thumbs up. People love them. And I'm, first of all, say thank you to you and your folks over at JNPR for hooking me up for the weekend. We'll talk a little bit more on the other side about what Airstream is doing today and how you guys have some motorhomes and the plans for the rest of 2017. We're talking with the president and CEO of Airstream, Bob Wheeler. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
Well, I've been getting around in an Airstream Sport, 22-foot. Had a blast with my wife. First time we've been together by ourselves in a camper. I've been married 32 years. And I got to tell you, it brought back all kinds of fun memories of what it was like when we were young. and we would go and do things together. And then four kids came along. Well, we're on the other side of that and enjoying life right now. Bob Wheeler's with us. He's the president, CEO of Airstream. And I got one more little couple of days with it before I hand it back to you guys, Bob. And I think we're going to try and use it one more time. But Airstream, the one I have is 22 foot. I know you make them smaller and you make them larger, and now you make motorhomes. Maybe you could give us kind of the state of the union of, you know, how Airstream is doing. Seems to me like I've heard rumors you guys can't build them fast enough. And then give us a little bit about the line, the different, you know, variations of what you make these days.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So Airstream travel trailers, the ones everyone thinks of when they think of Airstream, come in all sorts of sizes, really for everyone and their needs, starting at 16 feet all the way up to 33 feet. And every size in between, about every 2 feet. So whether you're a couple and just getting started or want something super small that'll fit in every campsite you can rent.
Right.
All the way up to people that live in these things full time.
Right.
It's amazing. We've got a number of people that have sold their houses and this is how they live and might need a little more space.
Well, and you've got some special edition ones too, because I saw, I was like, whoa, what is that? Out of Tommy Bahama or something? I don't know. What was that?
Yeah, we just came out with a collaboration with Tommy Bahama.
That's awesome.
It's very island themed, and it seems to center around the cocktail. And this is central to the Tommy Bahama brand,
right.
And certainly fits us very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tommy Bahama Pendleton. We did a great Pendleton National Park special edition for the 100th anniversary of the National Park System, and so we're always looking for cool companies we can collaborate with and things that align with Airstream as a brand.
That's awesome. How about motorhomes? You have some motorhomes now, too.
Yeah, we do. We build this beautiful Type B motorhome, a 24-footer. It's on the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter chassis, which is just an amazing platform. Very fuel efficient, but powerful. And super high quality. It's very luxury. Different look and feel than our traditional travel trailers, but built with the same quality and attention to detail that we put into our travel trailers for 86 years.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is so many people don't realize, and I'm here to tell you, everybody, that Sprinter is a wonderful machine, and they get really good fuel economy.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're talking 19, 20 miles per gallon.
Exactly.
It's better than a lot of things people are driving on their commute. So
yeah, and I wasn't a motorhome, but I rented one and I pulled a big trailer with it behind it to a trade show one time, and I thought to myself, oh, this thing's, you know, this is really gonna bog this thing down. No way. That package that they make, Mercedes with the Sprinter, is phenomenal. And I still got 20 miles to the gallon pulling a trailer, which has got to be the equivalent of, you know, like the RV package. But you can pull a trailer behind your RV, so you can have your, you know, your Harley Davidson or your motorcycle in a small trailer or whatever. You can really live an interesting lifestyle on the road, having fun, have your toys, have your cake and eat it too, with all the different things that you guys make. I love that.
Yeah, it's you just described my retirement plan there in a nutshell. Yeah, that turbo diesel that Mercedes makes is fantastic. Plenty of power and good fuel economy. And it lends itself to a lot of different things.
And I don't know if everybody knows it or not, but RVs can be financed, and I think up to like 20 years or something. They're considered a second home. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. But I know that I have an RV right now that I'm about to upgrade, and I'm hoping maybe to talk to you, but I found out that I can finance that thing like a second home. I'm like, now I can buy a whole lot more. I have a 24-foot kind of a conventional one that we bought for trade shows. Mm-hmm. It was really more for my employees to drive, and if they have to spend the night at a trade show, you know, they can be out there and do it. So I use my RVs in business, and actually they've been huge assets to my business, which I don't know how many people think like that, but I've always had to make my RV kind of dual purpose, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find many people doing that?
You know, we see it more and more now, and it's either folks like yourself that have figured out that they can take it on the road and use an RV both for recreation and for work purposes. But what we're really seeing is a lot of millennials that have jobs that aren't attached to brick-and-mortar offices, whether they're digital workers or information workers, kind of breaking free of the bounds of being in an office, and they can travel anywhere and do their work from the road. All they need is good Wi-Fi. And so that's where we've seen that trend really starting to manifest itself.
Well, it's awesome. And I did get all my work done I needed to. By the way, B-52's Love Shack, believe me, that is exactly what I'm thinking, the Love Shack.
And I'm not sure I want to know all the details there.
I'm playing with you. You're a good man, Bob Wheeler. He's the president and CEO of Airstream. You can check out more about Airstream at airstream.com. Thank you for hanging with us. Thanks for the use of the Airstream. I can't wait to get back out. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. Good talking to you.
We'll take a little bit of a break. Come back. Might have a surprise for you on the other side. Stay with us. It's The Drive. I got me a Chrysler. Hey, it's Alan Taylor here. I want to tell you about a brand new video series I'm co-hosting with my buddy Scott Duffy. It's called Business and Burgers, presented by Microsoft. The show travels across the United States, and we're in search of the best burger in America and a side of great business advice, too. Business, sports, celebrities, and food collide in an interview-style format with noteworthy entrepreneur guests sharing the secret sauce that it took to build prosperous, game-changing companies. Follow us online on YouTube, social media, and at businessandburgers.com. Go check out our new video. It's up right now. It is Saturday, so perfect. Well, at least if you're listening to the podcast, it could be Tuesday or Friday. I don't know, but the show airs nationally Saturday morning. So welcome aboard to our national radio affiliates. And you podcast listeners, howdy, howdy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a good Elton John song. George Kennedy joining us right now. He is a freelance automotive journalist. And he works for the Boston Globe. As a matter of fact, I understand through a friend of mine, he just posted a whole story about Barrett Jackson. We were together at the Mohegan Sun, and he was on stage with me. So, George, let's just talk about this for a moment. You know, what did you think? What was your experience like as your first Barrett Jackson? Give me a little kind of a download on the kind of, you know, did you have fun? Were you, like, blown away? What was your favorite thing?
I was doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan. So, as you said, it was my first Barrett Jackson. I've been watching him on TV for years. And I think what people have to take away from it is that what you see on TV is just the tip of a very big iceberg that is this whole weekend and almost an entire week event. That is the Barrett Jackson auction. You know, we got to see sort of the staging area and behind the scenes and how the cars are evaluated and, you know, the symposium stuff that you put on and stuff that I worked on with you. And so it's just a really great cross-section of the entire event.
Yeah. So, by the way, if you go to the one that was for Mohegan Sun, you know, East Coast. But if you go to the one in Scottsdale, it is more like a 10-day event. It's like, you know.
Well, I definitely hope to be going to that one.
It's crazy, yeah. Well, you know what? That's January. The next one coming up is October. Good times to be had for all. Again, yeah, we did do kind of a live stage thing there, second screen experience at BarrettJackson.com, Barrett-Jackson.com if you want to check out some of what we did. And that's, you know, the world is changing. It's like, yes, you can watch the whole thing on TV, but yes, you can also watch a lot of what goes on the second screen at their website for Barrett Jackson. And so now we're kind of doing a behind the scenes where the cars go across the auction block and then they come right across our little mini, not an auction block, but a little mini stage we have set up to where the car comes in. And we have some experts. We had the guys from Car and Driver there. We had the guys from Hemmings Motor News there, a bunch of different experts. And George is one of my experts sitting there. Funniest thing, though, that I learned is how fast Google is, because there was like, here comes a, you know, a Mopar with a Y code. And I'm like, what the hell's Y code? I don't know what the N code, Y code.
And then I chimed in with the N code. Like, I knew what I was talking about. It's a 440 without the six pack.
Right.
Like, you just looked that up, didn't you?
Right. But you know what? Who cares, right? I don't care. And here's the other big thing, people. If you want to know about a car, you ready for this? This is what I've learned through these symposiums that we've been doing. So part of the thing is we do a symposium every day for an hour with the Barrett Jackson experts. And then we do kind of, at least at this time, we did one-on-one sit-down conversation. One of the guys was Dennis Collins from Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. Matter of fact, we may get Richard Rollins on the show here today in just a little bit. We're trying to get a hold of him. I know he's back. He texted me. So anyway, we'll see if that – I'm just getting a text right now from him, as a matter of fact. We also did – let's see who else was there. Chris Jacobs, who's – you know, he's been on Overhauling for all those years with Chip Foose.
There was Wayne Carini.
Yeah, Wayne Carini. How could I forget Wayne Carini? Yeah, from Chasing
Classic Cars. That was awesome. That was a blast to listen to that. And And here's the thing, you know, you and I try and, you know, we profess to know a little bit about a very great many cars. But what Bear Jackson has is these guys who are just absolute experts in, you know, everything Hemi or everything Mopar or everything Corvette. And those guys are just an absolute wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, unbelievable depth of understanding and knowledge about, you know, like you said, Corvettes or, you know, Pontiacs or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I understand, like I said, you have a story that you just posted at bostonglobe.com. Is that right?
Yeah, on boston.com, which is sort of the online-facing side for a lot of the Globe content.
Okay.
And what we did was, you know, it's not like Motor Trend where the readers are in tune with this culture. We took it as for somebody who knows nothing about the classic car auction world, what is Barrett Jackson? How does it all work? I got to sit down and interview Craig Jackson, who talked about the early years and how his dad started it, and he took over at a certain period of time, right around when Speed Vision was coming along, and that moved over to Speed, eventually to Velocity, and how the growth of one helped the growth of the other, and that sort of turned Barrett Jackson to what it is today. So
awesome.
We looked at the craft section of what goes into one of these auction weekends.
Awesome. Well, you did a great job. Boston.com/cars, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, and that's the whole story on George Kennedy's adventures at Barrett Jackson at the Mohegan Sun. And, it was great having you on the stage there with me, helping me to describe some of the cars, because I don't even know how to start with some of the cars that come across. Like, all right, I know that's, this, but that one ain't anything like I've ever seen before. So we get to read the commentary, but there's more. It's like those Y code and N code. And it's like takes a bunch of people to figure it out.
Well, what was really cool about that was, you know, if you're watching it on Velocity, you're seeing every car go by.
Right.
We're not doing every car. We're doing like every 10th car, but we're spending a longer time with it. So, you know, we had Richard Lentinello on who, from Hemmings, and he could talk at length about a lot of these cars. And so you had that extra time, those extra couple minutes to hear a little bit more in-depth story about these cars.
All right. Take a quick guess. How many cars do you think we did each day? Come on.
50?
Yeah, between 45 and 50 each day, you
wow.
and me talking on the stage. All right, George Kennedy, boston.com/cars. Check out his story on Barrett Jackson. Thank you, George.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, we're going to take a break and be right back and see if I can ring up Richard Rollins from Fast and Loud. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com. And that is Richard Rollins, who's been around the world. I know he was just out of Necker Island. I don't know what the hell he was doing at Richard Branson's private island, but he's on the phone. Richard Rollins from Fast and Loud, and his new show is also called Garage Rehab, starting mid-August. Richard, how you doing, bro?
Man, as always, I am living the life. I'm having a good time.
So first of all, I'm watching Facebook, and I see you on like a Necker Island on Richard Branson's private island. Then I see you on like a catamaran or something with Dennis, you and Dennis and your gals. And it's like, was Richard there? Do you know what happened there?
You know, he wasn't there. I've had the opportunity to meet him a couple of times. Super, super cool cat. But, I finally got a vacation, 5.5 years since I've been able to string together more than 2 days off, and I decided I needed to do it up in a little style.
Good for you, man. It looked like you had a blast.
It was super killer.
That's
super nice
awesome.
Down there. I mean, I think I need to give Mr. Branson my resume.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure, he's got the right brand for you, Virgin, right? Oh, maybe not. All right, let's talk about Garage Rehab. That's the first thing getting ready to come out mid-August. Brand new show. Tell about it.
You know, I got a really cool show coming up. We are going across the nation, searching for struggling hot rod, motorcycle shops, regular mechanic shop, paint shops, you know, just any of these shops that were much like myself, and where the idea came from was, man, I remember getting started and I remember getting in the hole and getting behind and, you know, I'd lay there at night just thinking, God, somebody would just help me out a little bit. If I could just get that next, you know, $5,000, you know, loan from the bank, or if I could get that one piece of equipment that I needed, you know, I could get over the hump. And, you know, I've been very lucky and fortunate in life, and I've worked real hard to make it all happen. And I thought, you know what, there's got to be a ton of guys out there that just need that extra little help. So, you know, we're crisscrossing the nation and finding shops, and whether they're family owned or individually owned, or, you know, getting their story and finding out what they need and getting in there and trying to get them turned around and back on the path to making money and providing for their families.
All right. Is it going to be Discovery Networks also?
Oh, heck yeah. Disco's my favorite, man. So it's going to be Discovery Network. I don't have the schedule yet, but it's supposed to be mid-August. And we got 10 episodes coming at you, 10 completely different shops.
Wow.
You know, with some of the other rehab type shows, there's a lot of drama with, you know, kicking boxes, because they have to make that stuff kind of up because there's nothing to look at.
Right.
Well, you know, you're a car guy. You know every car, motorcycle, hot rod, paint shop you walk into, there's cool stuff there. So, you know, there's a lot of meat and potatoes on this one and a lot of eyeball candy. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're really helping these guys out. And as a matter of fact, I'm out at one of them right now in California, doing a little check-in just to see how they've done since we took care of them, and they've been on their own for a few months.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. All right, it's called Garage Rehab, Richard Rollins. And is Dennis in it too also, Dennis Collins?
You know what? No, I've got a new guy, Russell Holmes. He is freaking awesome, and he does a great job making sure that the work gets done. We turn these shops around literally in a week, and when I take over, when I make the deal and I take over, they got to leave. The owners leave, and I throw everything in the trash usually, but you know, sometimes we sell it. We've seen some man tears on this show, I'm telling you.
Right. You know what? Because car guys are hoarders.
Yes, they are. They're the worst.
Oh, it's funny. Wow. Okay, well, Garage Rehab, everybody. 10 episodes coming at you mid-August, Discovery Networks. As soon as I find out from Richard, I'll let you know. That's coming up pretty quick. And then, of course, a brand new season of Fast and Loud coming up. And I know you guys are changing stuff up because, knowing you, you got to take it up to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you doing?
Well, let me tell you what I'm doing. First of all, we are trying to break out of the box and build, you know, some really, really radical cars and some really different stuff. I think the first thing you see us build is going to kind of blow people's mind. It's different. When we bring it out, it's going to be pretty surprising. But, you know, we're down a man this year, but that doesn't change my crew. My crew is a phenomenal crew, and we really do build these vehicles in 20 to 30 days from start to finish, which is an amazing accomplishment in itself, but even more so when you say that 5-6 guys are doing it start to finish. We're jumping into a little import market, doing a tuner right now, and you're going to see us build another Pantera, and I can tell you what, we're building it for one of the best NASCAR drivers on the planet, and it's going to be a bad, bad dude.
Wow. Nice. So, first of all, when you say another Pantera, this is worth Googling, but maybe give me 1 minute on the Pantera, the first one you built, and that way people can want to go and Google that, because I know the vehicle, I've seen it, and it was awesome, but I don't know what happened to it after you handed it off to the guy.
You know what? I sold it to a guy down in Terralingua, Texas, which is down where they do all those open road races and
right.
stuff. So he's got plenty of room to run it. And it was a cool car. It really was. We took the heavy V8 out of it and stuffed a 3.5-liter twin-turbo Ford in it, and pushing some serious horsepower with about 500 less pounds. So it was a pretty fun car, and I know that guy's enjoying the heck out of it. And this next one is going to be extremely wicked fast.
Now, what did you call the first one? Was there a name to it?
I don't remember. Did we call it something?
I don't remember if you did either, but I know one thing.
I don't think so.
Just Google Richard Rollins Pantera, and you guys will go, whoa, now that. Because, you know, some people say it's sacrilegious to mess with certain vehicles, Pantera's being one of them. But, man, you guys did a beautiful job. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit more about some of the other business you're doing, because on top of everything else, you really are a businessman. You know, I work with Entrepreneur Magazine. I really enjoy watching you grow this brand, and you've got an energy drink and restaurants. We'll talk about that on the other side and how you guys can all, you know, play with Richard along the way on social media and all that. This is The Drive. Richard Rollins, Fast and Loud on the show right now. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of SEA US LLC.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated, and I've got a Viper ACR, one of one. I understand Richard Rollins just ordered one. I've got a Dodge Demon I'm going to go order because the Demon, I don't think there'll ever be another vehicle like that, ever, ever, ever. What do you think, Richard?
Oh, I don't think so. They're pretty cool. I've got a couple coming myself, hopefully. I got a friend or two at the Dodge place.
Yes, you do. So let's talk about, first of all, this energy drink. Because I want to, you're a businessman. And I want to expose a few things about the fact that you are beyond just a car guy. Because to run all this, you also must be an entrepreneur, a businessman, a guy who comes up with original ideas and original thoughts. Otherwise, why would a company like Discovery Networks chase you around the way that they have and keep you kind of, you know, close to the chest? So talk about energy drink.
Well, it's cool. I'm really lucky to be involved with Discovery and they're a great group. And the energy drink came along because, you know, there's always talk about some of them having some really harmful stuff in them, but we don't have the aspartame and we're sweetened with honey. And, you know, we just put it out there as kind of a fun idea and it's really taking a hold, and it is rapidly expanding across the United States. It seems like every day we're picking up a new area of a state or even a new whole state. And, you know, it's going to get out there. I hope I'm one of the big players in that market here in another 24 months. But right now we're having a lot of fun and you know, pushing the envelope on not only, you know, getting to all the guys like us, the car guys, but you know, getting some of the bad stuff out of there and making it good for you.
You know, it's interesting that you would even bring that up because, look, I'm 5 foot fat, so I'm not like the healthiest guy in the world. But I typically don't drink these super high energy things because of all the weird ingredients. And you just said it's sweetened with honey.
Yeah, sweetened with honey. We don't use the sugars, no aspartame, and got a lot of B vitamins in there. So it is still an energy drink, don't get me wrong, but, you know, hopefully just one that's a little bit better for you.
No, I'm glad to hear that. And because normally, like I said, I mean, you know, you look at the ingredients in some of these things and you're like, holy mackerel, I wouldn't put a carburetor in that. But no, good stuff. And what's it called? It's the energy drink. What do you call it?
It's Gas Monkey Energy. I mean, why run from something that's already working, right?
That's so exactly right.
We got Gas Monkey Tequila and we got Gas Monkey Energy. And I'll tell you what, you mix them and you're off to the party.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about the restaurants. All right, you call it Bar and Grill? What do you call it? Gas Monkey Bar and Grill?
Yeah, Gas Monkey Bar and Grills are doing really, really good. They're big venues, you know, with live music and things like that. And then we've got more of your Chili's type sized environments that are going in all over the United States right now that are called The Garage. And they're same theme, same Texas Roadhouse, burgers and tacos and salads and what have you. But, you know, going into areas that can't quite maybe have the amount of population to support, you know, a 30,000, 40,000 square foot restaurant.
Right, right, right. So
they're doing great. And next biggest one's going into Foxwoods in a casino at Foxwoods, Connecticut.
Ah, okay.
Right next to Guy Fieri's place.
Guy Fieri? Yeah, Guy Fieri. He says it
funny.
I don't
know. I can't ever say it.
I know.
I was actually at his new place the other day, and I FaceTimed him. I was like, what am I supposed to order here? He's like, come on.
Guy Fieri, burgers, diners, drive-ins, and dives. 3D. That's it.
That's right.
So a businessman you are. You've got all these things going on, and now you got also, I've seen you doing a lot of racing and sponsorships of racing with I think, the energy drink and some of the other, you know, just Gas Monkey Garage stuff. You still into that?
Yeah, for sure. My driver, Alex Laughlin, on the Pro Stock, he's won two Wallys this year already, and we're real strong there. We've got him also in an A alcohol dragster and working his way up to run the big boy. And we're having a lot of fun in the drag racing world. We're having a lot of fun in the IMSA world. We've got Don Yon out there with AMG, with Mercedes. And as a matter of fact, I'm considering right this second, I have to decide in the next couple of days, going down to Bolivia the first week of August to help a friend of mine run for the 300 miles per hour or better mark on a ridden motorcycle. Now, this is not a streamline. This is a ridden two-wheel, sit on it, and go for it. And he's going to go for 300 miles an hour down at the Bolivian Salt Flats.
Wow.
And if you haven't seen the Bolivian Salt Flats, which I didn't know anything about until about a year ago, it is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I've never seen
that. It goes on for hundreds of miles.
Wow.
And it is insane. So we're going for a 300-mile-an-hour, 2-mile average. So hold that 300 for 2 miles on a two-wheel drive motorcycle, or a two-wheel motorcycle that you're sitting on.
Right. Good Lord. By the way, Richard Rollins from Gas Monkey Garage, Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. New show, Garage Rehab, coming out August, mid-August on, again, Discovery Channel. Two shows now. Restaurants, energy drinks.
Oh, come on now. 4 shows.
What do you mean?
We got Misfit Garage.
Oh, you're still doing Misfit Garage.
Demolition, and we got Demolition Theater, and I got a new one. I got a new one coming for next year that's going to be a lot of fun.
You're an animal, man. All right, I got a question for you. What do you attribute all this drive and all this energy and all this entrepreneurial spirit to? I mean, where did this come from, you think?
You know, I really don't know, because I barely got out of high school, and I think it's just because they didn't want me to come back. But I really enjoy building. I really, really like seeing the fruits of labor in building something. Sure, the money's great, but I love getting up every morning and looking at the employees or any of the companies that I own and knowing that I've got to do my gig so that they can do theirs, so that everyone can provide for their family. And I take a lot of pride and joy in knowing that I've really got to do it so that they can have their job, so that they can do what they got to do. And I think that comes across and with my employees, and they understand that I'm going to get out there and I'm going to hustle for them. If I hire somebody, I'm going to make damn sure they succeed.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. It's so funny. I got to tell you a quick story. My son, who has grown up watching your shows, he's just 17. He's bought and sold like 30 cars, 20 motorcycles in the last 2 or 3 years. And we were looking at a jet boat, and we went over to this guy's house, and he was wearing a Gas Monkey Garage shirt. And my son made him a real lowball offer. So he wanted me to go over, give it one last look before he either raised his price or went ahead and paid the guy's price. And I looked at this boat, man, it was really nice. And the guy was wearing a Gas Monkey Garage t-shirt, right? So I said to the guy, I go, are you going to take my son's offer? And he goes, oh, he's going to have to come up some a little bit, you know, because he's offering a little too low. I go, let me show you something. I showed him a picture of you and me. I go, I'll tell you what, I'll get you a signed shirt from this guy right here. So he took his offer, and my son bought that boat and flipped it in about 3 or 4 days, made some money. So thank you very much, Richard Rollins. There we go.
That's
one more.
That's not a problem. I'm only going to bill you $250 for the shirt.
That's fine. It was worth it. I think he made like $2,000 on the boat.
Excellent.
All right, Richard Rollins. Don't forget, watch him on Discovery Channel. I had no idea. I thought you maybe changed up a couple shows. 4 shows on Discovery. Garage Rehab, of course, Fast and Loud. What are the other two called again? Brain Fade.
Garage Rehab.
Yep.
Misfit Garage and Demolition Theater. And you know what? I'll put a shout out there for my boy, Aaron Kaufman. He's got a show coming up. It's going to be pretty cool. I think people will want to watch it. And, you know, we're really excited to see him stretching his wings.
Fantastic. Richard, thank you, brother. Keep it up.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. All right, it's The Drive. We'll be back with more.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all 4 wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
On my wall in my office is a Car and Driver cover. On the cover is a Saleen S7 supercar signed by the man himself, Steve Saleen. And I've got him on the phone right now. He's up in Seattle, somewhere at a racetrack. They are celebrating a little piece of history for them. 30th anniversary of some winnings. Steve Saline, so tell us, what are you doing today there?
First of all, I was glad to be on, Alan.
Yeah, thank you.
And we aren't terribly far, but we are up in Seattle. It's a beautiful day, and we are at Pacific Raceway Park testing our latest creations here with a number of people.
So now let's talk about, first of all, two things. I want to hear about latest creations, but first I want to hear, you know, what is this 30th anniversary of what?
2017 marks 30 years from, obviously, from 1987. And 1987 was the year that we first won a professional racing championship with the Saline Mustangs. And to honor that, or to acknowledge that, we have come up with two special edition vehicles that carry the same flavor and some nostalgic aspects of it, but still use today's latest technology. And we're doing a run of 30, obviously for the years, of special edition car in acknowledging our first racing championship.
Wow. Saline. So the new Mustang, the new Saline Mustang, is a 30th anniversary of these racing, and it's, we'll call it, it's flavored. Like, who was driving the cars, by the way, when you guys won 30 years ago?
Well, we had quite a few drivers. We ran 3 and 4 Saline Mustangs the whole year in the Escort World Challenge, and we were sponsored by General Tire.
Nice.
And we came up with a paint scheme that since then I've pretty much adopted on a lot of our, with a yellow, white, and black in the way that we do the graphics. And I had quite a few drivers. I had in the 19 car, Rick Titus, who was an editor of Motor Trend magazine at the time, was my co-pilot.
Right.
Rick and I ended up actually winning the driver's portion of that year.
Fantastic.
On the championship, and we shared that. I had an all-girl team. I had Lisa Caceres, who was a stunt car driver and had her own karting school and was a Bondurant instructor, was part of our team. And then I also had a gal by the name of Desiree Wilson. She had driven professionally for a number of years. She was, I would say, the fastest woman in the world at that time. And in fact, she actually won a non-points event, Formula One racing event at Brands Hatch, England.
Wow.
And she was, so I paired her up with Lisa Caceres. Then in the other car, I had a gentleman that your audience probably knows as Scott Pruitt.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete Halsmer, who was a driving Trans Am cars for Ford Motor Company. I had them part of the team. And then to round it out, in the other car, when I needed more help, I brought back out of retirement, I brought George Fulmer and Parnelli Jones.
Wow.
To drive the fourth car to make sure, and it came in very handy in the last race, to make sure that we were able to win the championship.
That's awesome. Year. Well, and is either one of those guys there? I know Parnelli's getting a little up in the age. Was George?
We invited both of them. Parnelli is not traveling well.
Right.
He has his back is I think creating some problems for him. But Mr. George Fulmer is in attendance with us as well.
That's awesome.
And I also brought up Rick Titus is here. He's nice. Actually on the track right now doing laps. And then I brought two girls, Lisa Caceres and Desiree Wilson, has joined us as well. So
that's awesome.
I have a pretty good complement of drivers.
Well, now, where can people see some photos of these 30th anniversary winning designs for the Saline Mustangs?
We unveiled the cars for the first time last night at the Bill Pierre Ford, which is a longtime Saline dealer up in the Seattle area. And we then posted, if you go on to Saline.com and look at our Facebook posting, people can actually see our latest creations.
Fantastic. Saline is spelled like this, everybody. Saline.com. Steve Saline, still killing it all these years later. I can't wait. I'm going to go check it out right now. That's about the end of our show. So having one of my iconic buddies, racing buddies, on the line. Really appreciate it. Congrats, Steve. Can't wait to see the car. Saw her face.
Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again.
All right,
thank
brother. You. All right. That's about it for me, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on The Drive.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit HatcherFoundation.org for more information.